Blog Talk Radio.
I'm the founder and president of the Lord's Ministry, United in Christ Jesus. It's a blessing to be here. I'm running around, as usual, as crazy, trying to get everything set up. So it's a blessed time to be here. It's a tremendous time to actually be here on the Lord's Day to worship our great God and Savior Jesus Christ with you. Today starts our first broadcast of Season 2. Season 2's broadcast today, and it's been on my heart for a little while since I saw something a while back, since way, way back, many years, but then highlighted recently in movies, and I'm going to go into that very soon. Kind of give you an idea, if you've never joined us on Gospel Alliance Radio, how things will work is I'm going to be doing an introduction. I'm going to kind of go over what the theme is. We have time of scripture reading and prayer, and we're going to jump right on into what's going on, what we're talking about. Hopefully today we're going to address something that has practical ramifications, applications for every Christian in their life. And I pray that if there are any non-believers who might join their live the radio on United in Christ Jesus Facebook page, and I'm attempting to broadcast live on there as well. Well, we also have a chat open, since I don't have any videos, but I'm going to try and bounce around on three. You might see us have this one, sure, a little bit. I'm going to get to amazing announcements after guarding Ireland. That I am the choice of choice, Lord of Lord. If you know me, I'll be having a coffee. I got my water. So the formatting again is go through, and then South Gallery, 25 to 5, so breakaway, and we can use one smart commercial, so we can use the restroom, to do whatever, get some coffee, have that opportunity to do some. So with that, I'm actually going to read our scripture first, and I'm going to go to Romans 1. This is not a Sunday. That is unique. I have a gospel there before. I'm going to mention a couple of others' names that they have blessed me tremendously and things that they have needed. Shout out to kind of just praise God for the brothers, brothers, and sisters in life and take time to know and understand who they are. With that, we are basically going to be in Romans 1. And I'm going to start there. I will start at verse 15. I'm going to read through the rest of the chapter, and then we'll just jump right on into today's program. The title of the program today is "Know God, Just Advance Life: Moving the Goalposts: An Atheist Evolutionist Tale." All right, with that, the word of the God. Let us come before him in humility, and let's hear his word. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. If I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. But the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Just remember that. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. The word of the Lord. Let us go to the word and Lord in prayer. Righteous Heavenly Father, exalted and glorious, you who dwell in unapproachable light, majestic, holy, Father, I confess that I already speak these words, and though I have some idea of their meaning, I also acknowledge, in relation to you, I cannot even begin to plumb the depths of the meanings of those words. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father, we praise you and thank you, for you are the creator of the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them, both visible and invisible, and that you have done this through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Spirit, that all things are from you and through you and to you, that, Father, you have poured out your love. You have shown the greatest demonstration of love by having your Son crucified to a tree, him paying the price, becoming sin who knew no sin, dying on that cross, being buried, and on the third day vindicating your name, your word, by raising him from the dead, declaring him both Christ and Lord, now sits at your right hand, ruling and reigning, and at a time that you have appointed, returning to gather all those whom you have given to him, to bring with him to you, that they may see him in his glory and be where you are. Father, today's topic, I admit, can have the appearance and or easily go the direction of worldly argumentation. Oh, Father, I pray that you will give me wisdom and insight, and by your Spirit guide me in a course that points to Christ, acknowledges, exalts, honors him, that points to the cross, and with earnestness begging people to repent and turn from their sin and live and hope and trust in Jesus, for a day is rapidly approaching in which the living and the dead shall be judged, and those who are found in Christ to eternal life, and those who are not to eternal damnation, torment in the lake of fire and brimstone. Father, may you give me wisdom and guidance on how to present this material so that we may be encouraged, equipped, above all to love which leads to worship. This I ask in Christ. Amen. All right. So back when I was a wee young lad, Ireland again, I'm 50 years of age. I have grew up in a public school, and one of the parts early on growing up in our science was a video that came out talking about evolution and the beginning of the world and how the world began. It was necessary for us to watch these videos, and one of these videos at the time, I couldn't even tell you, remember the name of it, but it was a video showing that they had already performed an experiment in the lab which shows how life began on Earth. Remember, got to remember that. They showed a video that showed how life began on Earth. It is literally the crux of how evolution was brought into the school system and creation out. It is important to remember that the way that all of this got started with this evolution and all of this old Earth, the whole deception that is propagated not only in America but throughout the world came about by having to find a way. And it's important that you remember this, because this is literally the thing that was forced down our throats as children. Find a way for life to have begun. Because, see, you can backtrack things all the way to a certain point that you get to a place with, how does life begin? That has been the Achilles heel of evolutionists at a certain time frame, which I'm about to get into. When they had all the facts, when they thought that they possessed all the facts, it was ram it down our throat, even though there were lies propagated to help build this up. Haeckel's drawing, for example. And for those of you who do not know who Haeckel was, he made these drawings saying basically all embryos pass through, look basically identical until they go on. It was put in textbooks, it was shown, and it was a lie. It was an absolute lie. It was a lie when he did it. He knew it then. But it was continued to be propagated and fed, literally forced to us to believe this. Why? Because there was always sin, there's no proof of God, and we can get into that. But there's a more of an underlying problem. And it's just read about it. Though they understood, they understand. People, we all of us, whether we're born again or not, understand that when we look at creation, God, it is without question, it is without any type of defense. And when individuals thought that they had the evidence, the science, and even though they would lie about the science, it would be forced to us so that they could remove creation out of the school systems, i.e. we're going to start teaching the youth that God does not exist. And if you want to believe that, that's fine, if you want to add that to your life, but it's of real no value because God's just a creation of man. God didn't create man, we created God. So when I was young, I ended up having to watch this video, and honestly, as I thought about God, I somehow knew there was God. But I was the one who actually became angry and rebellious, and I fought against. I could have debated you on, no, there's no such a thing as God. Evolution is true. But it was always a suppression of the truth. It was never something that I truly knew. Well, way back when, and I'll get to this, way back when, Charles Darwin did this book called The Origin of Species. And many of you all probably already know about The Origin of Species, but in a nutshell, he went to the Galapagos Islands. He looked upon these things, all these different creatures and all this variety of life. But then he started tracing it back, and he was like to a common ancestor, and basically boiled it down to that nothing became something, and that something then reproduced, which led to all the diversity of life that we see now, led to all of it right now. So with that, it started to propagate vastly overseas until it then worked its way into the United States, in which we went through a very liberal period of time, and the foothold, the tentacle, the monster of this was to, we are going to put forth evolution, we are going to put forth the origin of species, but then, as I mentioned just before, they had the problem. Well, how does life begin? See, it's one thing to talk about the process, but if we're going to get this into the school system, if we are going to actually, we have to deal with the problem, how life begins. And you cannot escape it. It is the actual get me out the front door in going along the path. You can't even get me past the starting line until you tell me how this happens. And if you don't deal with this, then why am I going to trust anything that you have to say? It becomes a deception. It's smoke and mirrors. As God's word says that evil men will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's important to remember that this whole part was to suppress and is an active suppression of the truth of God for a lie. It is to lead you astray, to take you down the path of death and destruction of eternal torment. And it had got its tentacles into us. Like I said, here I am at a young age. We were still saying the Pledge of Allegiance. We were still, very patriotic. But it was being shown that life began, and there was an experiment that was done back in 1952, and it was called the Miller-Urey experiment. And this experiment was actually what was used to show that, yes, we now know how life began on Earth. And it's important you remember that. It is absolutely important that you remember this is how life began on Earth. By dealing with that, by showing how it could have begun, by having some, quote, scientific evidence to get you out the front door and onto the path, they now had clarity, a pathway to show, just like God shows that he created, here's the path, you have fallen, you're dead in your sins and transgression, there's nothing you can do, but I'm going to do for you what you cannot do because I am love. I am holy, I am righteous, I am just, but I am love. And I am going to glorify my name in redeeming a people for myself that will worship me and truly love me. And they will do this by lifting up, honoring, and exalting Christ. So now, God's word has never changed. It's always been straight. It's always been true. It's not altered. And now, atheism, evolutionists, have a pathway. This Miller-Urey experiment now gets them out the front door and on the path that will lead us down the road of evolution, because we can show you now scientifically how life began. And that was the important part. That was the, without that, I dare say we would still have creation in schools. We would still be talking about creation, because there would be nothing that they could hang their hat on to say, this is how life began. And we're going to get to some of the now moving the goalposts. I entitled this program, No God, Just Advanced Life, Moving the Goalposts, an Atheist Evolutionist Tale. And the reason why I did that is because what ended up happening, what ended up occurring, was some time ago. Now, let me preface this. I love science. I'm not a scientist. I didn't go to college to be a scientist. I went to a college for a short time. I love statistics. Math is more my thing. That being said, I don't hold any degrees in advanced math or any of that nature. But what I do fall onto is, as Einstein says, that unless you can say something simply and explain it simply, you don't know it as you should know it. Just because I don't have advanced degrees or anything doesn't mean that I don't have the ability to speak on it. If I am understanding and I am using sources that are verified, knowledgeable, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't have to be a psychologist to be able to talk to you that if you're feeling bad, you know what, you're suffering from clinical depression. I don't have to be a scientist to know that if you continue to smoke, that you're going to have lung cancer, or you run a greater risk of lung. I don't have to do that, because I can see the evidence. It's explained clearly. It's been reinforced. And so I can actually speak on that. If it was the case that we all had to be subject matter experts to the highest level, there would only be a few hundred, maybe a couple of thousand, that could actually only speak. And we know that that's not the case. That's not the case at all. I want to give a shout out to my friend Anthony Silvestro, who has been on this program as we've talked about this. He did a little YouTube video not too long ago where he actually talked about this and reinforced that part. You don't have to be a bona fide PhD, peer-reviewed scientist to be able to speak on a matter. You just have to know the information, have to know that the information is true, at least it's true to the best of our knowledge now, be able to show that, and then move forward. So some time ago, as I was explaining going forward, as I grew older, I wanted to live my own life. I had my own thing going on. And so I used whatever I could to push God away to live the life I wanted, though I knew that God was still true. I used evolution. I used atheism. I used evolution to be in, you know, hey, if I have premarital sex, it's, well, I'm just doing what animals do. I'm an animal. Believe it or not, I've heard that so many times from guys. Look, man, just doing what animals do. We're just another animal. This is the way things are. So in that, excuse me, I was just bouncing back and forth here. In that, I came to a place Well, I was actually being confronted at some point with evidence claims by others to say the evidence actually verifies God and disproves the atheist evolutionist perspective worldview. The evidence disproves Hinduism, Buddhism. In essence, what God has revealed has showed that he is the one true God and all others are lies. Well, that's a pretty big truth claim. That's a pretty big statement. So as I continued to go through and look at and examine, I came to something after a period of time, and it was called abiogenesis, and it's how did life begin? See, there is a law right now, a scientific law that's called biogenesis, and biogenesis very simply states life begets life. So what we have seen verified repeatedly over and over and over and over is life in all its complexity begets life. We have never seen non-life become life. We've never seen chaos become organized. We've never seen non-information become information. We haven't seen that. It's never been observed. It's never been tested. It's never been shown. That should be a huge thing right there for you. So as I was growing and I started looking at this, something amazing happened to me. And back in 2008, after what I would call a false conversion, back earlier on in my life, the Lord gave me eyes and ears to see and hear my sin against him, to feel the full weight of my sin, my rebellion, my hatred of him, his love and truth, and granted me repentance to turn from that and to humbly bow, confess, ask for forgiveness, receive forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ, his Son, who came to do what I could not do. The penalty for my sin was placed on Jesus, and Jesus took that and he bore that on the cross. Right after that beautiful, that is the best moment in my life. Better than marrying my wife, which is second, but it is the best moment and will always be until I return home, till I go home, that will ever be in my life. The day that I knew Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, King. Blessed be his holy name. Well, where I lived was in St. Augustine, and I know it seems like I'm kind of drawing this out a little bit, but in essence, St. Augustine, over 3 million visitors a year. It's the oldest European settlement in all of North America, and I literally was in next to one of the top 10 private liberal arts colleges in the country, Flagler College, and I actually started in evangelism. I would run into different people and I'd have different conversations where you would have to deal with, well, science proves. So it got me to start thinking. So I'm going to start this off. I'm going to kind of set this up for you. And I'm going to rehash very quickly. When I come back, we're going to go to break here shortly. We're going to rehash some of the earlier. And then what started happening? What started happening right after, and I do mean right after the Meyer-Urey experiment that started a process to where we are today, which I can just rejoicingly just proclaim that Darwinian neo-evolution atheism has been all but just debunked. All but debunked. It doesn't mean that there's not going to still be vile fighting and suppression, but debunked. And so with that, I am going to get ready, go to break. We're going to come back and we'll get started. I'm still on Facebook, United in Christ Jesus Facebook Live. I'm there if you want to jump into the chat room, ask a question. If you want to come on to the UCJ Facebook page or call into the radio program, I'm available, and I'm going to get ready and start our first commercial, and that is going to give you a little bit about who we are in United in Christ Jesus. So with that, I will start that, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
United in Christ Jesus began in 2009 as a prayer and praise email for those in the U.S., South Africa, and Northern Ireland. From that humble beginning, the Lord allowed us to become a registered missions ministry that has reached hundreds of thousands, if not millions, locally, nationally, and around the world. Today, UCJ is active locally in Ohio and internationally in Ireland. Through street preaching and crosswalking, one-on-one interaction, working with local churches in evangelism training, track writing and distribution, social media, our website, and internet radio, we are so blessed by the many ways the gospel is being proclaimed. To find out more about UCJ and the Lord's saving grace in our lives, visit us today at www.unitedinchristjesus.org. Also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter.
He Cares for Me by Charles Spurgeon. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It is a happy way of soothing sorrow when we can feel He cares for me. Christian, do not dishonor God by always wearing a brow of worry. Come, cast your burden upon your God. You are staggering beneath a weight which your Father would not feel. What seems like a crushing burden to you would be but as small dust to Him. Nothing is so sweet as to lie passive in God's hands and know no will but His. O child of suffering, be patient. God has not overlooked you in His providence. He who is the feeder of sparrows will also furnish you with what you need. Do not sit down in despair. There is one who cares for you. His all-seeing eye is fixed on you. His all-loving heart beats with pity for your woe. His omnipotent hand shall yet bring you the needed help. The darkest cloud shall scatter itself in showers of mercy. The blackest gloom shall give place to the morning light. If you are one of His family, He will bind up your wounds and heal your broken heart. Do not doubt His grace because of your troubles, but believe that He loves you as much in seasons of distress as in times of happiness. What a serene and quiet life might you lead if you would leave providing to the God of providence. If God cares for you, why need you care also? Can you trust Him for your soul and not for your body? He has never refused to bear your burdens. He has never fainted under their weight. Come, then, soul, be done with fretful worry, and leave all your concerns in the hand of your gracious God. This Puritan devotional has been brought to you by Grace Gems, a treasury of ageless sovereign grace writings. Please visit our website at www.gracegems.org. where you can browse and freely download thousands of choice books, sermons, and quotes, along with select audio messages. No donations accepted. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Again, Shane Sands here, your host for today's program. We're also live on United in Christ Jesus's Facebook page, so you can join us there live video. Today's program, No God, Just Advanced Life, Moving the Goalpost, An Atheist Evolutionist Tale. So in the first part of it, it's kind of going through a little bit of the history of myself growing up, how I was force-fed that life began on Earth in this primordial soup, and that was shown and verified by an experiment done in 1952 by Miller Urey, that this all had its beginnings from The Origin of Species, the Darwinian book, that at the time, it was thought that the simplest form of life was the single cell. The single cell was the simplest form of life. It was the most minute. Today we know that not only is false, but that there's basically what you would call a universe going on inside of each and every cell in a human's body. In fact, in all life. So, for those of you who've never seen the Avengers movies, I'm actually an Avengers movie fan. You know, you have to guard your heart whenever you go to see a movie, and I'm not trying to say I have this freedom in Christ that I can do whatever I want to do. I'm not saying that. I'm just a big Avengers movie fan. And before I go to any movies or I go out to have any type of entertainment, one of the first things I do is pray, Lord, guard my heart, guard my eyes, and let me see the deceptions of this world so that I might be more aware of how to love and approach people. So back in 1952, after the Miller-Urey experiment came out, boom, they now could get into the school system because they now showed how life began on Earth. And because life began on Earth, they now could say, and then that process led to evolution, natural selection, which brought us to all of the life that we have now. Even though things such as the Haeckel drawing and some of the other were completely false, and it was false at the beginning. They knew it was a lie, but they used it to prop up and get these tentacles into our life and to start indoctrinating our children in a lie. So have we ever seen this somewhere else in God's word? Well, actually, yes. Go back to the Old Testament. Rehoboam, Jeroboam. Son of Solomon, Jeroboam. He's the dude that God said, I'm going to take 10 tribes from from Rehoboam, I'm going to give them to you. Only Judah is going to remain. You go up there, you listen to my voice, do what I say. I'm going to set you forever. And he got up there, and then it was time to go to worship. And what did he say? He said in his heart, no, these people will go back to Jerusalem. They're going to fall in love. They're going to start following Rehoboam. So he made an idol, and he led his people in sin. He said, here's your gods, worship them. And he didn't allow the people to go back. And so many people who were wanting to worship God were led astray, led into death and destruction because someone did not want the truth of God out, was afraid, did not listen to the voice of God. And so we see that same thing now in the world today. If you say that you are a young earth creationist who believes the word of God, you're going to be called every name. You're going to be looked down upon. It's just pathetic what happens. And then when you actually in love can come to them and what I'm about to be revealing to you and bring out what's called cognitive dissonance, evidence that goes against their belief system, the first thing that they do is they become vile, attack, and they will suppress this truth in any means necessary, up to and including killing you. It is just how vile sin is and how much the deception and wickedness of sin is that it leads to death, and you will do anything to keep from having to face a holy God and be accountable to Him. Well, again, back at this time, the single cell, man, this is the smallest thing, and now we can tote. Well, shortly after that, something called the electron microscope came in. God allowed that creation to happen. And we started finding out that there is a lot of stuff, I mean a whole lot of stuff, inside the single cell, as I said, as a universe. And then Christians started doing something that they hadn't done before in a while, which was quite amazing, and God in His beauty gave it to us in the Gospels. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, He said, "The foremost is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." Key, all your mind. So people started actually putting the math to this. They started doing experiments. This, again, was not met with just open joy. It was suppressed and violently, and it would be done to really ruin people. This lie could not be exposed. So what started happening is the basis and the claims that were made by Darwin and from the Miller-Urey experiment and others started being brought under the microscope, per se, and evaluated. Is evolution a law? Is it a theory? Most people want to say it's a fact. Is it? Can we observe it? Can we test it? Well, no, it's not observable. In fact, we'll get to that where today, and the part about moving the goalpost comes in. Today, they basically say, guess what? All, everything is evolution. So there's no transitional fossils because everything is so gradual. Everything is evolution. My friends, that's moving the goalpost. So let's go back. And Scott Maddox, thank you for your comment. Yes, God does exist. You know He does. But thank you for your comment. I appreciate that. So we have, after people started doing the research, an amazing thing started happening. The math started coming in. And when the math started coming in, it started showing that what was being put forth, it didn't match up. It just didn't match up. The time, the calendar, it couldn't happen. So more and more things got moved. And in fact, if you know, I was telling you just a second ago, I like Marvel Comics, the movies. And throughout this, what you find is that they're moving away from that there is a God, but gods. You know, there's no God. There's just advanced life. You know, you got Asgardians, you got Krees, you got all of these other parts. You have all of these different advanced life. No God, just advanced life. Because where we come to now is that the evidence, and when I say evidence, is so overwhelmingly showing that God's word is true. That what God has revealed, what God has done, what He has shown is so overwhelmingly true that you can actually have a loving conversation with someone and you can go about it in some regard like this. Most people, if you ask them, and I was one, do you believe that science is the truth? Okay, well, most people would say, yeah, I believe that science is the truth. I believe in science. Okay, so then I go, so science is the truth, but science changes, right? You do an experiment. Well, no. So it's science isn't the truth. It's an instrument to reveal truth. It is actually a processes of observable, not metaphysical, just processes for the physical, things that we can see, even the things that we can't see on subatomic levels, even what you might call as antimatter, all these different areas. So science is an instrument that reveals the truth, and the evidence that comes out is for both sides. And if we're going to be intellectually honest, if we're going to be loving, and we're going to be passionate, if we can do these things, then we have to say, okay, let's look at the evidence that has come forth, and we apply it to both. What works, what doesn't, where does this fit? And then if you're going to have that conversations, then and only then, you can sit there and go, you know what? Here's what we see. All right. When we talk about abiogenesis, remember, that was the very first thing that was used to get. They had to show a way how life began on Earth. Without that, their whole theory falls apart. They had to show a way how life began. Like I said, I'm old enough, I actually saw the video. I was in the school when that was being played, and it was being forced to me. Not creation, not what God says, but what an experiment. And today, why you don't hear people talking about the Miller-Urey experiment is because it actually shows the manipulation of man, that it wasn't a random occurrence at all, that many things had to be done in order to produce, many things that were controlled, which doesn't show random. So now the next part that we go through is we start looking at how does life begin? How does it, we all can acknowledge that it goes from nothing to something. Well, a naturalist evolutionist has to believe in spontaneous generation. Some might even say, okay, I'm just going to say that there is a God, but that doesn't mean that evolution isn't the process today. So they skip past the original. Remember, the goalpost initially was we can prove that evolution is true because we have an experiment that shows how life began. We can do it. We've created it in the lab. So that got them in the door. Then all of a sudden, we go, the single cell is not the smallest thing. We start looking at the complexities and the processes in each and every cell. We start looking at DNA, RNA. We start looking at the volatility and the information systems that are in this. So when we start looking at it and then we start looking at all of the complexities, we're no longer talking about natural selection now. Because, see, natural selection does not work on non-life. Natural selection by its own definition is after you have reproduction, the mutations that would occur that would lead. That's the key there. The mutations that would lead to advanced life. It works so that, you know, it's random, unguided processes, which goes from mutation to mutation to mutation. And you need an extremely long period of time in order to get that. So when we started actually putting the math to things, when we started looking at fossil records, when we started looking at Dr. Whitcomb and Dr. Morris with the Genesis flood, when they put out this book and they started showing and we started looking at different scientific evidences that were being produced, we started looking and saying, which one does the facts fit? And over and over and over and over, the evidence is lining up in God's word. Now, if I got to be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with you, does that mean all the evidence? No. Right now, I got to be able to tell you that there are lines of evidence that lean toward old earth. It's just there. I'm not going to try and explain it and say that, okay, that disproves. I'm not going to say that. What I'm going to try to do is be honest and say everything that we know up to this point is this. That right now there are lines of evidence that show old earth. It's just there. There is overwhelming evidence to show young earth. And there is overwhelming evidence to show that life cannot spontaneously happen in a random manner. So we start getting through and we started doing the math. And the math it shows, because once you take natural selection away, natural selection does not work on non-life. Now we're talking probabilities. And that's my area. So in the probabilities, we start looking at what is basic life? What do you need to make basic life? And so when we sit down and talk with someone, what's the probability that the very random unguided processes to bring about the proteins necessary to make one of the simplest life forms, period. When you do all the math shows that in all of the known universe, all of the matter with all the combinations happening every second from the 14.65 billion years to today, that it couldn't happen. I mean, it's beyond that. It's zero. And not just here, but anywhere in not only this universe, but if there's parallel universes and those as well. That's the math. That's the very simple, plain down to the bare bones math. And so when I talk to people, the question simply comes down to, if the math can't even get me out the front door, now why do I have to believe you on everything else? Because I was told, I lived then, I was told that this is why it worked, because we've shown that it can happen. Until it was shown it couldn't. And then it started changing. And so the goalposts started moving further. And this, my friends, is the loving part. Just like I can see Scott Maddox down here, that, no, we got to change this. No, we didn't have enough information. We told you that's why it worked back then, but now it doesn't. We've gotten to a place now in microbiology, in quantum physics, and in almost every aspect of scientific theory. And I'm bouncing back over here. All right, excuse me just for a second there. Where the reality is that atheistic evolution, Darwinian neo-evolution, is to the place now where it can no longer be viable. And in fact, people who are not even Christians, so many scientists are coming up and saying Darwinian evolution cannot even be sustained. So that's just not me. That's actually what's coming out. It's just, it is what it is. So when I get to the abiogenesis and I go, okay, it cannot even happen anywhere in the entire universe. Let's bring that down to a more realistic way of putting things. And let's look at how this actually is viewed. Many of you remember O.J. Simpson. Some of you are young enough that you probably don't remember who O.J. Simpson is. But he went on trial. And when he went on trial, they brought out the DNA evidence. They had found DNA evidence at the crime scene, and that DNA evidence matched him. Now, here is the interesting part. When they asked what the probability that that blood belonged to any other person other than O.J. Simpson, the mathematics came down that it was one in three, over 3 trillion. So the math is correct. And since the math is so precise that it was one in over 3 trillion, which is more than the number of people who have ever been on the Earth. It is statistically impossible that that blood could have belonged to anyone else. It's not even probable, not even with the ability to have belonged to anyone, because it went past the whole pool. So what they had to do then was attack the process. They had to somehow discredit the process, because the math was unequivocally showing that that is his blood. And now they had to find a way to put his blood at that crime scene so that it cast doubt on the credibility of the police and the people who did the studies. That's actually what happened. So the math proved that that blood was his. There was no argument ever on that. This could have been corrupted. That could have done it. Nope. Could not have been, because it exceeded the entire population. So when we talk about abiogenesis, spontaneous generation from non-life to life, and it goes to 1 in 10 to the 130th power, that, my friends, is beyond the total estimated matter in the known universe by the number of occurrences, by the time frame. It could not happen, not only on Earth, or in Andromeda, or wherever else it may be. It is completely possible that it would have gone from non-life to life. So back in 2008, and what time am I at real quick? Cool. We're about to have to go to a commercial. Back in 2008, a movie comes out with Ben Stein, and it's called No Intelligence Allowed. Now, many people will know who Richard Dawkins is. He's probably one of the foremost evolutionists out there, and has spent a lot of time just berating Christians and putting them down as non-intelligent and all sorts of other things. So since the movie's come out, a lot of people have said, it wasn't done correct. It wasn't, except there was one part. There's two little parts in that movie that, in context, without any equivocation, this is what they meant. That when Richard Dawkins was asked, how did life begin on Earth? He first said, well, that's not the job of an evolutionist. Remember, the goalpost was moved, because evolution was brought in because they had to show how it could have begun. And that's when they had the early experiment that said, hey, this is how it happened. But when that was no longer viable, goalpost is moved. It's not now an evolutionist job to show how life began, just the process now. Two, Mr. Dawkins saying, it's not my job of a evolutionist to show how life began, but given all its complexity, the fossil record, on record, in context, he says, it could have started by it being seeded from outer space. There you go. Could have come about that it was seeded from outer space. And he literally said, by an advanced life form. Ben Stein said, but not God. No, obviously not God. Advanced life. And he said, far more advanced than us. Far more. Ben Stein again said, but not God. No. The leading Darwinian evolutionist now is saying that the way life probably could have started on Earth was it being seeded by an advanced life form on Earth, but it's not God. The goalpost is moved again. Now, when we look at all the complexities and we continue to learn and we continue to grow, it comes down to, what does the evidence show? Does the evidence show, does it fit the theory of one species becoming another species by random mutations that benefit the species so that it's survival of the fittest, which has never been demonstrated? There's not one verifiable demonstration that this has actually occurred. Or does it come from the fact we look at the other, which says that God created the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything in them. He did it in 6 days. And that he formed man, special creation, out of the dust of the earth. He breathed into him life, and he became a living soul. Occam's razor would say that the simplest of all the explanations is most probably the true, the simplest. So we can't even get out the starting gate on one. And so you have to take a huge leap of faith to even get from spontaneous generation to the processes of natural selection. But even then, the math doesn't work. Because the length of time to get to where we are today with the vast amounts of life and all its complexities, all the different proteins, all the different enzymes, all of those things exceed the age of the earth. To get us to even where we are today, the math shows it can't happen. Again, we continue to say, okay, well, more and more science is coming out. The God delusion. Yeah, Scott, thanks for bringing that up again. In fact, when I go to commercial, I'll probably do something with that. Hold on, I was just wanting to make sure I checked on something here. Okay, so by understanding Dawkins and understanding, and there's other books that I'm familiar with, but anyway, so when we get to the place where we actually see the evidences and we put them up, the reality is that God has made it and we understand it. We understand that the complexity, the organization, the symmetry, the non-chaos that does not become chaos, but the more we look, we see the beauty, all leans that God, intelligence, designed. Even Richard Dawkins is on record saying a advanced life form is probably what did it. So another evolutionist in that same program said that the things could have come in on the backs of crystals. So when there's no actual means to keep the deception open, as we find out more and more and more, the goalpost has to get moved. And now we've been seeing all of this about finding life on other planets. Because the math now shows, the science now shows, the evidence that comes out clearly demonstrates the complexity and the beauty of life could not have happened in the process by which is put forth in evolution. The religion of atheism cannot stand because by it you have to believe in spontaneous generation. It cannot come from, by definition, de facto, no God. That spontaneous generation cannot occur. Now, that's not me trying to be some hard person saying you're just a reprobate. No, I'm trying to tell you, man, that's the facts. What we know now, today, is that life could not have started spontaneously from nothing to something, that what we see in the fossil record shows a spontaneous explosion of everything in its kind, in its developed sense. We've never have observed one kind becoming another. We've never seen one species becoming a cat's always remained a cat, might be a different cat. Tree would be a tree, and though it might be a different tree, we've never seen a mutation that has gone from that has actually benefited. So when you talk about sickle cell anemia, it's still a degradation of the body. It's not a benefit, though there might be a benefit from malaria. It does not benefit the person. It's still a mutation that is detrimental. It actually hurts the organism. It's not a benefit. It doesn't move it forward. Two, as we continue to grow and grow and grow, we see that these things can't happen. So now we're having to look for life elsewhere. because we're seeing just the beauty of life in all its vastness. So when I come back, we're going to touch a little bit more on how we can have like conversations like with Scott Maddox. And he goes, there's this one, and I want to say there's zero evidence for God and lots of evidence for evolution, which is not true. And my question to you, Scott, is please show me the research that was shown. Please show me the research that was shown that there's no God, because you're making a true statement that there's zero evidence for God, which science doesn't even deal with the metaphysical. So please show me the evidence that you have, the research done that shows that there is no God, because you just made a statement, there's no evidence. So if I said there's no evidence for gravity, you're going to want me to show you the proof of that. Well, here's all the proofs that show that this is true, and here's the research that shows it doesn't. So please show me that the research that was done. You can't, because it hasn't been done. But we're going to talk about the Higgs-Bonson particle in a minute and the actual hypocrisy of how we look at things. It's really, really important. We're going to remember this. It's called the God particle, Higgs-Bonson. We're going to talk about what the lead scientist said about that, the lead physicist. And it's an amazing thing. So we're going to go to another short program break. What time do I got here? We got about 20-something minutes left. So we're going to do another one real quick. I want to say thanks to Scott over here. Really appreciate you taking the time to interact here. I am appreciative of it. Show you the Dawkins quote source. YouTube, no intelligence allowed. And look up Ben Stein, Richard Dawkins interview. That should get you in the right direction right there. So it's actually in the movie, it's on record, and it's in context. It's not edited, so you can take a look there. We're going to go to commercial now, and then we'll come back. You're going to find out a little bit about how you can help support us as we get as we grow. And here we go. Time for me to get off.
Andrew Fuller has been quoted as asking, "There is a gold mine in India, but it seems as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" To that, a man by the name of William Carey responded, "I will venture to go down, but remember that you must hold the ropes." You see, some have been called to the task of going down into the laboring wells of gospel proclamation, and others have been given the task of holding tight to the rope and providing support to those who venture out. Both carry a responsibility and a reward. United in Christ Jesus rejoices with those who feel called to join us in the exploration of souls. Equally, we value the necessity of those who are given charge of the ropes, in other words, those who support the work of missions through prayer and financial support. To successfully reach our world with the saving message of Jesus Christ, we are asking for your faithful monthly support. Just go to www.unitedinchristjesus.org and click on the Contribute button at the top of the page. Donation options are conveniently listed there for you. Again, thank you for holding the ropes for our United in Christ Jesus team. God bless you.
The Throne of Grace by Henry Law. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to you, O Father of mercies, O God of all grace and love. We thank you that, as vile and sin-soiled as we are, we may come into your immediate presence and hold this converse with you and commune with you concerning all our concerns, all our sins and fears and hopes and desires. We are astonished that we, poor sinners on earth, may speak directly to you, our great and glorious God, on your throne in the heaven of heavens. How wondrous the thought that our poor breathings may fly on the wings of faith and have instant access to the ears of your grace. We thank you that in the multitude of your tender mercies and the riches of your pitiful compassion, you have been pleased to erect this throne of grace before which we now most humbly bow. We bless you that here free grace reigns. We bless you that at all times and in all places we have open access to you through the blood of your dear Son. We bless you that the veil is open, and that in his great name we may ever approach and find you ready to hear, waiting to be gracious, arrayed in smiles of love, bidding us to touch the scepter of your sovereign mercy, inviting us to pour out every need and desire of our hearts, and promising to give more than we can ask or think. Grant, O grant, that we may be wholly consecrated to you. May we, in spirit, soar far above earth. May our hearts be fast barred against admission of worldly thoughts or cares. Send your peace, passing all understanding, as a flood into our anxious minds. May our meditations of you be sweet. May we drink deeply of the refreshing streams proceeding out of your throne. May we feast on the heaven-sent manna of your precious word, and thus gather strength for the upward race. Hear us, answer us, bless us, we pray. All we ask is in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake, amen. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Hebrews 4:16.
All right, welcome back. We got just a little over 16 minutes for the remainder of the show. I'm Shane Sands. I am your host for today. I'm blessed to be the founder and president of the Lord's Missions Ministry, United in Christ Jesus. Today we're starting season 2 and episode 1, and it is an all-important one, No God, Just Advanced Life, Moving the Goalpost, an Atheist Evolutionist Tale. Been going over from the beginning, when I grew up, that there was an experiment by Miller Urey to talk about abiogenesis, but that is exactly how we had to get into evolution, because what Mr. Maddox is showing here is it was about abiogenesis, and I said that at the very beginning, so I'm sorry you missed that, but what it does is that they had to overcome how do we actually get from non-life to life to where we are today. And as we've grown, the only thing that's been changing is evolution, not God's word, to the place that today is no longer a viable means by which we can say that life began on earth spontaneously went from non-life to life, and that it evolved into everything we now see, and including all, you know, all the fossil records. The actual math does not work. The actual math does not fit, and that is why you are now having it go from things happening on Earth to things happening in space. And that's just the truth. And yet, again, Occam's razor, when all the evidence is looked at, the simplest explanation is the one that's the most likely. And again, the simplest explanation is God created. God created. And that we see beauty, organization, symmetry. We see that life begets life. We see design. We see irreducible complexities within each of the cells. All of these things show who God is, who Mr. Maddox, you already know exists. And that is the beauty, because when you in love evidence and you love science, we can get into the aspects of a discussion on what that evidence shows, what it reveals, where it has us now. It's like Mr. Maddox said, there's no proof for the flood, and yet, you know, there's actually lots of evidence that's been shown for floods. It's, do you take the evidence that's shown and do you attribute it to a regional or to a local or not? The dinosaur that was just found completely encased in and basically had its skin. It was rapidly transported from an area that was dry and put into an area that was sea and completely encased. And it happened in such a rapid point that worms and others didn't have a chance to get into it and dissolve it. Well, whether or not you want to accept that evidence as a basis for a worldwide flood that rapidly took a dinosaur from a non-sea environment and put it into a sea environment and encased it so rapidly that it didn't even deteriorate, well, okay, that we can sit down and we can talk about. But the reality is that happened. We have that right now. It is in our possession. Soft tissue from dinosaurs that even under the stringent evolutionists should say that should not even be here today. So again, more evidence comes about. So whether or not someone wants to take that evidence and say, okay, let's unbiasedly, objectively apply it and let's see where that leads us, well, I can't speak for others. I know that I used to do the very same thing that Mr. Maddox, you obviously are doing. But the truth is that the math proves that it can't happen. That's just the fact. It's just the fact. So now when we talk, where I want to get to is this. Okay, so we have different worldviews. We have different backgrounds. I'm going to tell you, and I'll just use Mr. Maddox as an example here. Mr. Maddox, I don't know you. But the fact is that you've joined in here, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk, to actually give your opinion, and I appreciate that. It's very, very good. So we're left with two things. We are left with a worldview that has to borrow from the Christian worldview to even make sense of life, that the evidence does not support because evolution doesn't even get into the theory stage. It doesn't even get into the hypothesis because we can't even test it. We don't see those things happening. We don't see any molecules reproducing themselves. The evidence that we should see doesn't exist. But the evidence that we would see coming from God, where he does speak on things, that seasons would be in place, that how things were created. We see, even from an astrology standpoint, we used to try and number the stars, but God says it that the stars can't be numbered. And it wasn't until much later that we were actually brought to a place to say, okay, we can't number them. We used to have people from an archaeological standpoint that would say, and this was used as evidence to disprove Christianity, we don't even know that Jesus existed. Today, what has been uncovered archaeologically, what has been verified over and over and over, is that Jesus, a man Jesus, lived some 2,000 plus years ago. It is accepted in just about every intelligentsia circle and secular science schools. Not only did Jesus live, that it was reported that he did miracles, that he led people in a way and taught, that it is fact that he died on a cross, that he was put in a grave, and then on the third day, he wasn't in the grave. That is just the evidence. That's just the facts that are there. So now what we do with the resurrection, what we do with that evidence is this. We either say, is it, if you're going to do it from a completely secular standpoint, does the evidence show that the part that can't happen by math and couldn't have happened on earth, and we can't verify the processes even to this day, is true, require such blind faith, just so we won't have to face our sin against and be accountable to God? Or does the evidence show, not only in creation, but the history and archaeologically, that not only does God's word stand the test of time and is verified, but that Jesus actually lived, made truth claims about himself, that he led and he died on a cross, was buried, the tomb was empty, and that right after that, the people who had followed him were proclaiming his resurrection and even died for him. Does that fit an atheistic evolutionist view? Or does it fit God? And it fits God. Now, how we deal with that is in a loving manner. You see, I've mentioned before the Higgs-Bonson. Let me check my time. 7 minutes, okay. The Higgs-Bonson particle. Again, beautiful thing here to look at. Higgs-Bonson particle is often referred to as the God particle, dark matter. And it was mathematically shown that it could be present, that it could be possible. It was mathematically, it was shown to be able to exist. So they started investing millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to find this particle. Now, what's interesting is what the lead physicist said about this. When asked, he said, well, the difficulty about the Higgs-Bonson particle is this. We're looking for something that, one, we think exists, and two, we don't know what it looks like, and three, we don't know where to find it. That is the absolute truth of his statement. We're looking for something we think exists, we don't know what it looks like, and we don't know where to find it. So why would we continue looking for something that we, one, think exists, we don't know, but we think, and spend millions of dollars and resources into this? We don't know what it looks like, and we don't know where to find it. Accountability, my friends. You see, if we can find something that is non-sentient, is not the, quote, as Dockman said, the advanced life form, we're not accountable to a particle. In fact, we can manipulate it and use it as we see fit for our own benefit. We can't do that with God, because God can't be bartered with. God can't be bribed. He is holy and righteous and just. He sits enthroned. He has created the seas and the earth and the heavens and everything in them, visible and invisible. Everything is subject to him, and he is not subject to any of his creation. He is God. And the Higgs-Boson particle, if we can find it, we can manipulate it and use it. But unlike a particle, couldn't do that to God on the cross. You see, they tried to do the same thing to Jesus. If he's the Son of God, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe in him. Can we manipulate him to do what we want him to do? That is what was being put forth. We want to have our life. We want to have our power. We want to have our money. We want to have our reputation. We want to have our country. And anyone who shows something different, we are going to do what we got to do to get rid of that. And that's what they did. So now we come to the place where we now talk about the beauty of who God is. See, he is holy and righteous and just and good. When I say holy, he is quantitatively and qualitatively above and beyond us. He is God, we are not. But he has made us special, unique from all other creation. He took us out of the same dust that he took the other animals, but he made us unique that we could be image bearers of God. That we can reflect him and represent him on this earth as though God were walking on this earth. We are the only ones who have the capacity to reason and think and understand, not just use tools or communication, no, but to contemplate the future, the thoughts, the reality. That's the beauty. We were created unique, special, by God and for God. And this beautiful gospel, this good news is that just like in the garden, when God made us a suitor helpable for Adam, he created woman, Eve. And we can tell and infer by the scriptures that Adam loved Eve so much so that he put a special wall around what God had said to keep Eve from sinning because he loved her so much. And that was when Eve was asked by the serpent, did God say you couldn't eat from the tree? And she was like, we can't even touch it. But God never said that. God said, don't eat. They could have put a swing in there. They could have slept on it. They could have carved A and E with a big heart on the thing. And it would not have gone past what God had said. The woman was deceived. Adam disobeyed the voice of God, and the Bible tells us because of that sin, death spread to all men because all men sinned. It became part of us. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all know that. But what God did is he made a way where there's no way. He sent forth the Son at the right time, and he lived the life we could not. He loved the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved his neighbor as himself. He fulfilled the word of God perfectly. And then he went and offered himself up as a sacrifice. And on that cross, he was nailed there, and he died a death that we deserve. I deserve for my rebellion against holy God. And then he was put in the grave. And in that grave, he was buried, and he was in that grave dead, dead as a doornail. And then on the third day, God vindicated his name and his word by raising him from the dead, because it was impossible for sin and death to keep him, to restrain him, because God had given his word that if anyone had fulfilled his word perfectly, they would live. And now he sits, rules, and reigns, and he calls, commands all people to repent, turn from the sin, and trust in him. And that he is merciful and good, and that he will forgive you your sin, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and give you a new heart, and make you one with him, that you will have life everlasting in Jesus. And today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Time is up. I got to get ready and go. the live broadcast goes in, I'm going to continue here for just a few minutes on United in Christ Jesus Facebook page. And let me say goodbye to the others. Episode is now ended. And boom, end that.